Father, as we spend the next few minutes reflecting on this familiar passage, we ask that you will guide each one of us in our thinking. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus made a number of memorable statements using metaphors to describe who he was and what his purpose was, and indeed still is. And most of them appear in John's Gospel, where Jesus describes himself as the true bread, the vine, that's next week's Gospel, the gate, the resurrection and the life, the light of the world, and many more. But probably the best known of Jesus's I am statements is the one that Phil just read to us, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And I guess this one is particularly memorable because we have some inkling of the role of a shepherd, not just because occasionally we've invited Edmund up to talk about his work with sheep, but also because it's something that we can imagine quite easily, more readily perhaps than being a vine, for example. And because the combination of this passage and Psalm 23, which is the one set for today and we've just sung, have provided Christians with comfort and encouragement for generations. As most of you know, we have a 3-year cycle of readings which we use so that many of the passages that we hear in church crop up once every 3 years. But today's readings are used every year. And every year on this particular day, the fourth Sunday of Easter. In fact, there are people who refer to this Sunday as Good Shepherd Sunday. So I think it's appropriate for us just to spend a moment or two exploring how it is that this particular gospel, this statement about the Good Shepherd, fits into the post-Easter themes, how it fits into the Easter season so well that actually it comes up every year for us. For the last 3 Sundays, we've had our attention focused on the reality of the resurrection. We've looked at the events of the first Easter morning, and then at the experiences of the disciples as they met with the risen Lord. And this, of course, is the key message of the Easter season, this focus on the reality of the resurrection and its impact on the followers of Jesus and how they were inspired for the rest of their lives. But in the second half of the Easter season, which we're now entering, a new focus develops. Jesus starts to prepare the disciples for his departure and for the next 2 major events, his ascension and then the day of Pentecost. And this preparation involves 3 related themes. The first one comes in passages like the one that we've just heard, where he assures the disciples of his continuing love and concern for them. A love and concern that is with them throughout this life and then beyond the grave. Secondly, he makes it clear that he will be leaving them and that the task of carrying on his work will pass to them. And thirdly, he promises them that through his Spirit living in them, they will have the strength, the language, the insights, and the inspiration to continue his work, to live for Christ in the world, to live, to love, and to work for him. So we have these 3 related themes that are very much the focus of the readings that we have for the rest of the Easter season. That Jesus will continue to love and care for us, that he will be leaving them and the task of carrying on his work is passing to them. And thirdly, that they will be equipped for this work through his Spirit living in them. Now the picture of the Good Shepherd in the passage that we heard read and in Psalm 23 is a source of great comfort to us, and it's intended to be. But this passage is intended to be more than a comforting passage, particularly when it's taken in conjunction with the passage that Sarah read to us from 1 John, where we also have a challenge for us as we look to live, love and work for Christ. Indeed, one of the Bible translators, when he was working on the Good Shepherd passage, saw a different nuance in the meaning of the words in the original Greek and actually translated them not as the Good Shepherd, but as the Model Shepherd. And I think if we see in what Jesus was saying a model for the way we should live our lives, we can indeed be challenged as well as considerably comforted by this passage. When we think about a shepherd, it's easy to romanticise about sheep. We may think of a fluffy little lamb skipping around in the fields. But the reality is actually that there are very few people who choose to keep a sheep as a pet. That, I think, is quite telling. Indeed, I suspect that someone like Edmund, who works with sheep every day, would say that they are rather dirty animals. I don't want to be derogatory about your flock, Edmund, but the reality is that they're a bit stupid, rather stubborn, easily influenced by the behaviour of others, easily persuaded to follow, easily frightened and confused, not very good at protecting themselves. They need protection. But before you think of any more negative things to say about sheep, we should note that the Bible says that we are all like sheep. I won't go through the list again. We too have gone astray. We too have each turned to our own way of doing things. So perhaps we shouldn't be too disparaging about poor old sheep. However you think of them, sheep are a big challenge for a shepherd. There's a tremendous amount of patience, expertise and work involved. In fact, you might wonder why anybody would take on the job. I guess, as with every job, part of the reason has to be for the money that you earn. We've all got to earn a living. But of course, there are very different approaches to carrying out this task that you do to earn your living. The Good Shepherd, the Model Shepherd, wasn't in it just for the money. In the Gospel passage, Jesus contrasts the Good Shepherd with the hireling, who was only there to look after his own interests and collect his pay. "No," said Jesus, "the Good Shepherd is there because he has a deep down passionate care for the sheep, which stems not from a focus on cash, but from love." I think there's a challenge for each of us there as we consider our workplaces, our schools, our neighbourhoods, our relationships in the light of the example of the Model Shepherd. What are our priorities? What are our driving motivations? How far are we prepared to go out of our love and concern for those we encounter, rather than just focusing on our personal interests? In the passage which Sarah read, it says, "Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action." Some translations of this say not just in word or speech, but in truth and action. And later he writes, "We should believe in the name of Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us." As Jesus prepared to leave his disciples, it's recorded in John chapter 15 that he prayed to God for them. He said, "As you have sent me into the world, so I am sending you into the world." And he makes it clear that he was expecting them to continue his work and that this responsibility would pass on to future generations, including, I guess, you and me. The Good Shepherd always wanted the best for his sheep. In Psalm 23, we read that he led them to green pastures, that he led them when the time came through the valley of the shadow of death. As followers of Jesus, how far are we prepared to go to help other people achieve what is best for them? How far are we prepared to push ourselves for others? How concerned are we for those beyond for our immediate physical neighbours? And, for example, for our neighbours who are fleeing from Libya and dying in the Mediterranean at the moment. The Good Shepherd puts himself between his sheep and danger. Now, many of us would say, looking at a flock of sheep, that they all look alike. But not, we are told, to the Good Shepherd, who knew everyone by name. How important it is for us to treat each of those whom we encounter as a special individual, special to God, and therefore special to us. And that we make the effort to know people, and like the model shepherd, to call them by name. Of course, there is an irony about this use of the image of the Good Shepherd. And that is that for Jesus' contemporaries, shepherds were not seen as good people at all. On the contrary, they were despised and treated with contempt as outcasts. This makes the fact that the shepherds were invited to the Bethlehem stable all the more remarkable, and adds yet another dimension to the challenge of following the Good Shepherd, of building our lives on the pattern of the model shepherd. Because we too may find ourselves misunderstood and despised for the values and the attitudes that we hold dear and try to model. It certainly happened to Jesus, for whom love was very costly indeed. Love even to the point of death. And lastly, Jesus told his followers that the sheep recognized the voice of the Good Shepherd and listened to him and followed him. They didn't listen to the impostor, to the hireling. And so we too need to learn to listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. So as we enjoy these weeks between Easter and Ascension, between the resurrection and the day of Pentecost, let us indeed continue to sing our alleluias that Jesus has risen, that Jesus has conquered death, that Jesus is alive, and this has great significance for us too. But let us also dwell on his promise to look after us, to care for us as our good shepherd, to lead us to green pastures, to restore our soul, and ultimately to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. And let us also embrace his commission to continue his work in the world in the strength of his Spirit. Little children, let us love not just in word or speech, but in truth and action. Amen.